All right, turn in your Bibles, the book of Exodus in chapter 20. Almost ready. All right. Book of Exodus in chapter 20, just going to read one verse, and we're going to read verse 7. Just found right that this is the third commandment in the famous Ten Commandments of the Bible. And it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your mercy and grace. And thank you, Lord, for that song and the message in that song that your blood cleanses us from all sin and that you completely and freely forgive us of all our iniquities and trespasses. And we thank you today for that. We thank you for gathering us together here in your name. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us with everything that we've got to give you and you alone honor and glory today. Bless your word as it's preached, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Of course, we're not going to preach all the Ten Commandments, but we are going to take that one in verse 7. And this is one that, you know, there's been a lot of misunderstanding about this particular verse, how far it goes, what it does. And it's really prevalent, you know, now in today's day and age, given, you know, just it seems like the just in normal everyday usage, how much that it seems like his name is taken in vain. But of course, it goes a lot farther than just simply, you know, texting OMG on your text. And I mean, this verse has a lot in it and it means a lot. And I want to try to. I want to try to convey some things that are very important today about the name of God and then specifically the name of Jesus Christ. And this is one of the Ten Commandments. And of course, there are a lot of different commandments in the Bible. And if you decide you're going to live by the law, just to introduce, if you're going to live by this law in order to be saved, I think you're going to be sunk, because even if you did pretty good on these Ten Commandments, you got another 600 plus in the Bible that are also there that are going to be pretty difficult to do. And anybody that says that they live all the time by the Ten Commandments, I can pretty much assure you they're just a liar, or they're self-deceived, or they're something. There's one thing that these commandments do show us, and show us that we're in need of help. We're in need of a help, and that's why the message is so incredibly assuring, you know. And these believers, they sung that song this morning, and you know, they sung it well in melody and in tune and all that, but that's not really what rejoiced our heart, was the fact that they sang it well. What rejoiced our heart was the message behind that thing. And that's an incredible message, the fact of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has saved us from our sins by his blood, because we need saving. All right, so now that we know we can't keep the Ten Commandments, now that we know that we're not diligent enough to be able to follow God's word, we could just simply throw this out, right? I mean, we don't have to worry about it. You know, it's still God's will. You look at this commandments right here, it's still God's mind. God still considers some things important, not only for the New Testament, the Old Testament. And specifically, I want to talk today about his name. A couple of verses I want to show you, just to kind of introduce the fact that God is, God emphasizes, God considers his name to be very important. I'll take you to two verses. The first one is in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 22, and look in verse 32. Leviticus He says very clearly here, and he's talking to Israel here, he says, neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. And a very clear verse, doesn't need a lot of explanation. If you want to know what hallow means, it means to honor, it means to sanctify as holy, to set apart as something holy and righteous. There's all kinds of ways that we could describe it, but in the New Testament, we have it also in the famous Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, in the very first verse, he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. And so he's emphasizing something here. I want you to know that it is a theme throughout the Bible that the name of God is a hallowed name. It's a holy name, and it's not a name to be trifled with. We have in our society this attitude now that everything is up for ridicule. Everything is up for, I don't know what the term is, not slander, but when somebody makes fun of something. No. Come on, you guys know the word. No, not ridicule. I forget it. Somebody give me a cup of coffee so I can remember what I'm thinking in my mind. It seems like it's just popular in today's day and age to kind of mock and make fun of just about everything, and that nothing really is above making fun of nowadays, you know? But this is one thing that you don't want to make fun of. Unfortunately, we as Christians, sometimes we do anyway. You've heard some jokes, and God was walking along one day, and I think we really ought to be careful even telling jokes that have God in it. And I know some of them are funny, and some of them are clever and well written, but we're not dealing with our neighbor, we're not dealing with a family member. We're dealing with the very Creator and the God of the universe. And the fact that we even know his name is an incredible thing, because had he not revealed himself to us, we wouldn't know anything about him. God can keep himself completely secret from us and detached and separated, and there would be absolutely nothing we could do about it. There's no way that we could get to him. There's no way that we could reach him, discover him. We just can be completely in the dark. But God's revealed himself to us, and that's an incredible thing. And so his name, this means something to God, God's name means something to him. Now, there are those that go so far as they won't even completely spell the name of God, or they won't completely even pronounce the name of God. And there are some that every time God is mentioned, they'll do a sign of the cross or to some mystical thing like that. And I want you to know that the name of God is not this mystical thing, that we think of, but it's an incredible name. We know his name, and the fact that the world takes his name in vain and doesn't take our names in vain as much tells you something. You think, well, it's just innocent. The fact that somebody, some teenager, texts OMG, on their. By the way, be careful what you text. I don't care what it is, be careful what you text. I read a funny one, and I won't go into it completely. I thought about telling it, but now I won't. But just about people that don't have their acronyms right when they text, and innocent mothers that are texting things that they don't know what they're texting, and it turns out they're texting something completely else. You go to a lot of young people, and you'll say, hey, what does OMG mean? And they won't have a clue. Well, it's just a term, Well, OMG is calling out to God. That's what it's doing. And so when you use it as an exclamation, of course, that would be an example of taking his name in vain. taking his name in vain would be using his name for any other purpose than what's it's intended. And I really feel like we as Christians need to be very careful, not only that we don't take the name of God in vain, but that we don't get involved with, we don't get desensitized to it. And I'm all for, you know, and I've said this before, probably even mentioned it last week. I'm all for, you know, calling people out when they say that name, and you don't have to be ugly or anything. But I mean, somebody says the name and you can pop right up and say, hey, that person you just mentioned, I know him. In fact, I was just praying to him today. You know, he's awesome. You know, he's wonderful. He's incredible. And start saying some good things about God. That's how we mostly consider this verse right here, just in that context right there. The fact that, you know, just in the kind of common swearing context of using his name as a cuss word and as a slander word. But it actually goes a lot farther than that. It goes a lot farther than simply just taking his name in vain. It goes a lot farther than simply just using his name as a cuss word. It says there in that commandment back there, it says that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. There's some other things we got to consider. So I want to give you 2 points before we move on, and two very important things that his name means to us. The first is that his bearing his name, having a part of his name, actually puts us under his authority and his protection. Consider this in terms of, I'll give you 2 examples. Consider even in terms of parents and children. You know, children think that at a very young age that they're autonomous and they can do whatever they want to do, but actually they are under authority. And there are a lot of kids that don't understand that. They don't know that, you know, but a child is under authority. And thank God we've got the Bible so that we as parents, we can take advantage of that authority before it's too late. It is our authority as parents to shape and to mold that child. You know why? Because that child is ours. I discipline my kids. But I didn't discipline those other brats over at Walmart that were running up and down the aisles. Seriously, they weren't my kids. Plus, if I do anything about it, I'd probably go to jail, you know? And really, I didn't go home crying and worried about all those poor kids running up and down Walmart, you know, I was worried about my kids. I prayed over my kids. I wanted my kids to have food. I wanted my, and you know, and that's the same relationship that we have our God. God is our Father. And if we take His name, if we call upon the name of the Lord and we become His, then thank God we come under His protection. We're naming His name. We're following His name. The same thing as another example that you could give is one of a husband and a wife. And this is a very solemn vow. We've got my son's getting ready to make vows to Brittany, and Brittany's getting ready to make vows to him, you know, and I was talking to Brittany a little bit about vows and how important they are and whatever. And they are important. Because I remember back, man, I don't even know how many years ago it was now. it was back at 1988, remembered. 1988, it was either July 30th or 31st. I can't remember, but it was 30th, right? 31st. Whatever it was. But that day changed my life forever. Changed her life too. You know, and I remember I didn't know about this hyphenated name stuff, you know, that is real popular down here. So we went down to the driver's license and they were going to hyphenate her name on her driver's license and put her Julie De Los Santos / Tebow. And I raised a fuss over it and they were like, what are you talking about? What? You're really weird. I said, no, I want Tebow on there. I don't want De Los Santos on there. Not that that's not a good name and everything. But she changed. Nowadays, man, they got all kinds of things about people changing their name. But to me, it represented something. It represented that now, not only is that woman committed to me, she belongs to me, I belong to her, but it separates her from all those other women. There's an exclusive relationship, and it meant something to me. Also, it gave me grave and incredible responsibility. Because now if she's hungry, it's up to me to feed her. If she doesn't have the things that she needs, I'm the husband. It's up to me, not the government, not welfare, not somebody else, not her dad anymore. Her dad had no further obligation to provide anything for her because now she wasn't under her dad anymore. She's under me. She's under my umbrella. So she's under my authority and my protection. And I know that this idea of the husband loving the wife and the wife reverencing her husband, this is kind of out of vogue and everybody's kind of getting mixed up. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. Because it shows God's authority. In fact, the marriage is actually a picture of Christ and the church. And we have a head. And so we answer to that head and say, man, you got to do whatever he tells you to do. Well, I trust Jesus Christ, so my answer to that is yes, I'll do whatever he tells me to do. I trust him. Because I know that he's going to look after my welfare. I've got verses in the Bible that say that when Jesus Christ disciplines me as a son, you know, when God disciplines me as a son, that he's disciplining me for my good. He's shaping things so that he can make me something better. I'm telling you, I can't always say that as a dad. There were times when I disciplined not because I cared about their greater good, but because I cared about getting a little peace. Or I wanted to cure my irritation, or I had a bad day at work, and I'm just looking for somebody to take it out on. Sad as it may be, sorry, sons, daughter, it happens. You know, we're not perfect, but God, he's a little bit different. So that's one instance, is that name means something. And so when I name the name of Christ, it means something to me, and it means something to Jesus. Jesus points to me and says, that one is mine. I redeemed him and I saved him and I'm going to represent him before the Father in heaven. And we, on the other hand, say, he's the one that saved me. He redeemed me. I belong to him. You see, it's about authority. It's about protection. And then the other aspect of it, the other aspect of that name is in the sense of Jesus Christ giving us authority, because he does give us authority. I'll give you an example of some authority that he gives. Look at Matthew in chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And in verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Tell you what, there's our marching orders right there. Adam gave a great message this morning and mentioned a lot of things about missionary service and about support. And I tell you what, that's our marching orders right there. If somebody tells us, hey man, get off the streets, you guys don't need to be here. Well, it's not their authority. Someone higher than them has already told us what to do. And we've got authority. And so when we preach, we preach in the name of Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ has conferred authority upon us in order to distribute this message. That's the authority he's given us. So what right do you have to print the gospel in the papers? We've already got that authority. He's already given it to us. And we don't have to apologize to a single man. And I think Christians ought to stop apologizing and feeling bad about being a Christian. Look, you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be set aside. Don't worry about it. You've got somebody greater than this world who's already given you marching orders, given you authority, and says, you go out in my name. Now, when we do that, what does that give us? That gives us all the rights and the responsibilities of that name. We're used to it. We understand this concept. We understand this idea of rights and responsibilities several ways. Number one is, you know, I don't care if I'm driving down the highway and that cop that pulls in behind me and spins on his lights, I don't care if he's a pipsqueak. I don't care if he's an adulterer. To me, it doesn't matter that he was drunk the night before. To me, what matters is that he's stopping me under the authority of the law. And so what happens? When I pull over, I'm not sitting there evaluating, now is this a good cop or a bad cop? Is this guy a jerk or is this guy going to treat me fair? You know, I'm not thinking about all those things. All I think of is that I need to pull over. Why? Because he's got authority. And we recognize that authority. We recognize that right there. And we also recognize that there are times there are times when people confer authority upon us. I remember a sister one time, and she came to me, and she says, look, I want to give you power of attorney. And I says, well, why is that? And she says, when I get sick, I want you to tell them to pull the plug. I says, so you're going to have your mom and your sisters and your aunts and your uncles there, and then you're going to give me power of attorney, and what you want me to do is go in and tell all your family members to pull the plug, right? She says, yes, can you do that? And I said, no. I said, you may die. I don't want to die. But there is a piece of paper called a power of attorney that would give me that right, that would give me that power. We understand that. And so, in two senses, that name means a great deal to us. It's the name and the representative of our covering, our Savior. It's also the name that we have the authority to do what we do. Why do you build churches? We have the authority of Jesus Christ to build these churches. Why do you go out and preach? Because we have the authority of Jesus Christ to go out and preach. Now, there's other ways that we can take that name in vain. And Christians are sometimes, even though they may not say OMG or use some of these phrases that are derogatory to the name of God, there are some times when we can take his name in vain too. Because think of it, just the term of that particular phrase, taking his name in vain. But what does the word vain mean? Well, vain also has a corollary that you might understand more, and that's vanity. And what's vanity? Vanity is nothing. You know, vanity is useless. So if I go out and do something and it doesn't produce anything or it doesn't accomplish anything, well, then I've wasted my efforts in vain. You know, I go to do something and it doesn't come to fruition. Well, I can say, you know, I've done that in vain. Well, there are some times you can actually use the name of God and use it in vain. In other words, you're just repeating a name. You're not doing anything. I'll give you some examples. I remember one time a lady came in this church and she says, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And I, of course, you know, sounds real impressive, doesn't it? What I'm not sure of is I'm not sure the devil stopped in his tracks and looked over and said, oh, what did that lady just say? Man, I better hightail it out of here, you know? Look, there are certain authorities that we assume. You got to be careful what kind of authority you claim from God, because you could be assuming authority that's not yours. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ in several places gave his followers, his disciples, authority. There was one time he gave his 12 apostles authority to go over and raise the dead and heal the sick and do all these kinds of things. Incredible! He sent the 70 out one time and gave them authority to cast out devils in the name of the Lord. Well, if you read the scriptures carefully, you'll find that not everybody had that authority. You look in the book of Acts, there were some people that did not have the authority to carry out some of these things. And we find that there were some authorities given in that particular day that we don't have now. I'm not going to go into a detailed discussion of the gifts of the Spirit, but there was a point where Jesus gave a group authority and he says, look out, you're going to go out and you're going to heal the sick and you're going to raise the dead. You're going to drink any deadly poison. It's not going to hurt you. And they laid all these things out. And now people today are going out and pretending that they have this kind of authority. Listen, you got to be careful what you claim about the name of Jesus Christ. Just saying his name doesn't really mean much. I'll give you a reminder. If you look in Acts chapter 19, verse 13, that the name of God is not some sort of a good luck charm. It's not some sort of a phrase that you can say and all of a sudden be protected. There's an example here. It says in a verse 11, or just get the context and kind of the comparison as to what real authority is over false authority. It says in 19 verse 12, it says so, or verse 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So he gave Paul certain authority so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on him and overcame him, prevailed against him, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And then you sit there and go, what in the world happened? Didn't they preach the name of Jesus? Didn't they give the name of Jesus? Well, the devil's told you exactly where they stand. They said, yeah, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you? Listen, if that cop in a marked police car pulls me over, man, I'm pulling over, but the same thing I tell my wife and I tell my sons and everything, if some car that I don't recognize puts some little red light, magnetic light on top of his car, starts spinning that thing and attempts to pull me over, he's unmarked, I have no clue who he is. Listen, I don't have to pull over. Seriously, I can go to a gas station or go to a well-lit area or drive into the police station and find out who this Yahoo is, because there's some people out there representing themselves to be something that they're not. And they've got no authority over me. By the way, find out what you really have authority to do. It's very clear in the New Testament. Just in this case, I think we are getting overwhelmed with people that are out there trying to cast out devils out of everybody. Listen, we don't have any instructions in the epistles of the church in how to cast out devils, in how to do all these things. It's strangely absent. But there is something about the devil that says, you know, resist, submit yourselves to God. In other words, put yourself under the authority of God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, don't use the name of Jesus as a good luck charm. Don't use the name of Jesus. Don't throw it around here and there, you know, and don't think that just because you say in the name of Jesus that it's going to do anything. You got to have his authority. And so we've been given certain authorities to pray in his name, to preach in his name, to baptize in his name. But then there are certain other authorities. So if you do that, if you just presume upon God, then you might find yourself taking the name of the Lord in vain. Be careful, because that name of Jesus means something. It's not to be simply just thrown around, just willy-nilly. Look at Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 21. And before I get to that also, you know, we've got to be careful, because sometimes you can be taking his name in vain by attributing stuff to God that's not really God. Here's a mistake that a brother made one time. Well, I assume he was a brother who made one time. And he was getting ready to make a decision that was clearly against the written express will of God. Now, how do we know what God's will is? It's written down. I mean, it's very clear. Okay, so we don't need visions from angels. We don't need visitations in the night. We don't need visions. We don't need dreams. We don't need signs. You know, there are some Christians that are out there looking for all kinds of signs, you know. Oh man, I drove up and I just knew it was a sign that God wanted me to do this. Well, you know, you better kind of back off on the signs. You better back off on the supernatural stuff, on the feelings and all of that, and get into what the express will of God was. Now, I won't tell you what he was about to do, but he was going to make a decision that was against the express will of God. And this is what he said in his defense. He says, but God led me and has given me peace. Well, he's just invoked the name of God into his situation in order to protect his disobedience, in order to justify his disobedience. And what does that do? It's in vain. He can say all he wants to. Well, God led me, God told me, and listen, be very, very careful on what you say God told you to do. And on what you say God led you to do, because that can lead you into all kinds of things that may not be the express will of God. Okay, Matthew in chapter 7. And I could go on and on, but here's something that's a real danger. And I want you to understand the position that these people were in. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, listen, there is going to be a crowd of religious people in the day of judgment. Many people are going to say to me that, and if that doesn't send chills down your spine, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Shocking, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now listen, this is very important, and I want to try to make this point because if I take the name of the Lord vain in other areas, you know, God's going to deal with me and I'm going to need some help. But listen, this is an idea in your mind that could actually condemn your soul for all eternity. It's serious business. Here was a group of people that were doing things in the name of Jesus. And bad things? I mean, they weren't going out robbing stores. They weren't shooting cops. They weren't doing all these other things. What were they doing? They were prophesying. They were healing. They were casting out devils. They were doing many wonderful works. But Jesus' answer is, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You see, they never had the authority to do any of those things. And listen, charitable works are impressive. And it's hard for us to get this idea in our mind that, hey, someone can go out and help the poor and not be recommended to God. That you could actually start, you know, they have a place downtown right now called the Haven of Hope. And I know there's some good and bad things going on with that. But man, there's a lot of good that they do. And they've gotten some people off the streets. Man, that's a good thing. There are kitchens over there and there are warehouses over there. And what do? They feed the poor. And if you're poor, man, that's a big deal to you. You know, somebody gives you some food and helps you out a little bit. These are good works, you know. We're going out and taking these things into other nations and doing things. And all of that is good. But listen, those good works right there, if you do them in the name of Jesus, but Jesus never sent you and never gave you authority to do them, then in the end, he's going to say, I never knew you. Now, here's why it's important, because so many people have in their minds that, look, as long as I do this and I attribute it to God, I'm going to be okay. But listen, God already set up how he wants you to approach him. God's already set up how he wants you to gain his favor. The Bible's very clear that we need to humble our hearts before God. Number one, we got to come humble. We got to realize that we're sinners and that we can't save ourselves. And that we gotta call upon his name in order to be saved. He's very clear about that. He's very clear. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans is very clear. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's very clear that there is none other name over there in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. So there's no other way. God didn't tell you to go out and do works and gain his favor. God didn't give you the authority to go out and help somebody out and assure your ticket into heaven. God's already set it up. He already sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. He provided the sacrifice. It's not your blood, it's his blood. It's not your sacrifice, it's his sacrifice. He became the representative for all men, that all men could call upon his name and be saved. He took your place in judgment. And now what he does is he offers salvation to you completely free of charge. And then you turn your back on that and say, no, I don't want to do it that way. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be the best man that I can. And I'm going to take care of my family and I'm going to pay my taxes and I'm going to be good to my neighbor and I'm going to do all these things. I don't have to do it this way. Well, God never gave you authority to get into heaven based on that. You see, he set it up. You see, he's the Savior. He's the protector. He's the one who sets down the terms and the conditions of this relationship. And so if you look at it from that aspect of it, then even somebody out there that's doing a lot of good works in his name, which there's a lot of people out there doing that, and they're attributing their stuff to God, you can see how that slanders God. If my kids, when they were little, came and disobeyed me, and then wanted to come and get my favorable reaction, you know, of course I'm not going to act favorably towards that. So the same thing is that we have an incredible opportunity here to be saved. God's already given it. God's already set down the terms of agreement. And see, here's the deal. You can call upon his name, and then what happens is you assume the authority of his name. So now, when I stand up before God, what's my defense? My defense is real simple. I defer to Jesus. Say, well, why can I let you into heaven? What have you done? You know, kind of account for yourself. Man, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ saved my soul. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's everything I've got. If Jesus Christ, I'm under him. I'm in his name. That's what he means when he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's very important. And so now we pray in his name. You know, he says pray in his name. And you can actually pray in the name of the Lord in vain. I've seen Christians do it too. And they pray all this stuff and they pray in Jesus' names thinking that's going to do it. What they don't understand is there's another verse in the Bible that goes along with that. So if you ask anything according to my will, he'll hear you. You see, praying in his name means praying in his will. Listen, the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says very clear, it's in the same book, in the book of Philippians. If you look over there in Philippians in chapter 2, same place where Adam was this morning, he says, let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and the things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, this is where it all rests, and this is where it all lies. You see, the authority is not in just speaking the name. The authority is not just in saying the name. It's not just saying the name of God and hoping that someday he looks down with favor. It's getting in and going to that very one who died on the cross for your sins, going to the only one that has the authority to save your soul. Not the priests in the confessional, not any other God, not your, Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive your sins and save your soul, and he can save you if you call upon his name. That commandment is very clear. Going back to it, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I'm telling you something, that's not just cussing. That's using the name of the Lord in all kinds of ways that doesn't benefit you. Listen, why don't you get into the Word? Why don't you do a detailed study on what the name of God means and what the name of Jesus Christ means to you, and then seek to put yourself under his authority, to follow his will, and to do those things that he's commanded you to do in his name. And let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for gathering us together today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that as we go out today, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, not only to live and to breathe and to move under your authority and under your protection, but Lord, help us to be bold in those things that you've commissioned us to do in your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.